go over?
And we'll have David Mitz next week, then we'll get back to it. And I know this is, I know that the title of this is going to be, it's going to excite a lot of people here. It's called The Discipline of the Lord. And I did, and the Lord spoke to me, but I want to say it in a way that biblically, Paul talks about it. It's talked about in the book of Hebrews. But I think sometimes when I was younger, the discipline of the Lord, I was terrified because I thought it was going to be me being maimed for the rest of my life. Yeah, there were some things that I thought that weren't right, and as I'll explain it, as the Lord did something in my life and he showed me some things that really encouraged me about the discipline of the Lord. Man, how he loves you and I. Did you know that? Everything God does in our lives for the children of God is for our good. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. But sometimes you talk about the discipline of the Lord, and that's like, people are like, it's not a sermon or a series I want to be a part of. But I would just encourage you right now to allow the Lord to speak to you. To allow the Lord to speak to some areas in your life. And just understand that we live in a society today that hates discipline. Can I say this? We live in a society that hates discipline as a whole. It's called lawlessness. It's what it's called. It's what Paul calls it in 1 Timothy 1, starting in verse 8. Society hates the discipline as a whole. It's called lawlessness. You've heard that say, spare the rod, spoil the child. But yet we have a large part of a generation today who would never discipline their children. And I'm not trying to come against somebody. I've been around long enough that I've seen where I've had, I won't mention that's nobody that goes here, but I remember I have a family member that when they would bring their kids over, it's like I dreaded it because there was no discipline. They thought it was okay to just let them run crazy, do whatever they want, and that's called no discipline. They're not doing any good for that child. Did you know that? And thank God I was not raised in a home like that at all. At all. Thank you, Mama. Amen and amen. I've often said, and my mama heard this for the first time, she didn't say wait for your dad to come home. She says, if I get my hands on you, there was no waiting for dad to come home. And I'm grateful for those things that I learned. Really, we got to understand discipline. You know, I think about even at the, I've mentioned this before, the school, you know, talking to Principal Justine Crawford at our school, you know, at the high school here, she says, it's not just the kids I'm dealing with. Now I got to deal with their parents. The parents don't want their kids being disciplined at all. Who are you to discipline my kid, right? Who are you to tell my kid what to do? Where I come from, I'm glad I'm at the age group where I've seen a little bit of everything, right? And so I've seen this, like, the principal paddled you, wait till you get home now. So I didn't have to wait, you know, the teacher said something. I was terrified to go to the principal's office for disrespect or the things I was supposed to do because of the fear of discipline in a good way. And if we're not careful, what happens is that these types of ideals creep into the church where the Lord doesn't discipline his children and you and I whom he loves so much. Amen. You know, the laws of the land are set up to discipline us. Sowing and reaping, right? I understand those things could be taken overboard. I was talking with Ken and Emily yesterday about some of those things where there isn't justice for people, you know. The due law being proven guilty first, amen? And so, but yet, we still have these laws of the land. Look at what's going on in other states where there's no discipline. That's what it is, no law saying. People getting away with crime, there's no discipline for that. So what happens, they go out and do worse things. They never grow and be part of society in a healthy way because there's no discipline. They've got it twisted around where evil's good, good is evil. They're saying, no, if we just understand that they've gone through things and things have happened, and so we've just got to understand and there's got to be a different way of correcting them. What we see now, even in Oregon, right, where they're saying they retracted the law of drugs being legal, the hard drugs, because they've seen what's happened to that. And so we don't have the disciplines in school in some states. And what can happen is it can creep into the church. And sometimes I'll just say this, maybe just the way I've raised. I think sometimes in Christianity we've grown soft. But really, we have soft. We've gotten soft. We don't want to offend people, so we don't say things. And so we're very careful because we want people to come back to church. But let me say this. If people didn't come back, I don't care if I realize I'm preaching exactly what the Lord wants me to in His love. I have to answer to Him. Just like you in your life, you have to answer to Him. You don't answer to me. And so I just want to say that with this, may we not be, we walk in His love, walk in His truth, but man, I don't want to be a coward. I don't want to be a man pleaser or have a fear of man as we deal with these things in society and politically right now. All of it has to do with a warped sense of the discipline of God that's come upon this earth. Even if you're walking in His mercy and grace, and as we talk about it, as the Lord spoke to me, it says in Hebrews, it talks about it in 1 Corinthians 11, if whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. But you know, there can also be a real abuse as well, as far as the side of discipline. There really can. And so we have that other side of abuse and hearing stories and of people being abused, beaten. You know, I have a friend that he's a dear friend of mine, loves the Lord, but still his mind, very successful, but his mind still not quite right. He was locked in closets for days at a time and fed dog food because for some reason, in a warped sense of his mom and dad, that's what he needed to be disciplined. Let me tell you, there's another side of discipline where it is not out of love, but it's cruelty. It's actually rooted and grounded in hate and not in love that'll actually mess an individual up. And sometimes people having experienced that kind of discipline with a parent of abuse, they won't understand a correct form of discipline, of God's discipline, so they'll actually shun it and never have a understanding of discipline, even how it relates to maybe a boss or your kids or your parents ever for sure, so they don't understand that authority and discipline can be good because everything they experience has been opposite, it's been abusive. And that's not God either. But some people will make it out to be that that's God. If you aren't careful, God will get you. God's looking to come after you. And let me tell you, that is not the Lord Jesus Christ. See, He wants us to understand His love, His mercy, His grace. It's the kindness of the Lord. You've heard me say it over and over again. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads a person to repentance. Amen? Oh, how kind and loving He is, saints. How He loves you and I. And if you don't understand true discipline or correction, we will never come into maturity in the Lord. Let me just say this. You may be smart, gifted, talented, wealthy, but as far as the kingdom of God is, you'll be permanently a babe in Christ if we don't understand the discipline of the Lord in the new covenant. You know, there's a difference between wrath and correction. Let me just start right there, wrath and correction. And sometimes we can take some Old Testament theology, if we're not careful, in my opinion, because that's the way I used to be. I used to spend all my time in the Old Covenant, not realize. I love the Old Testament, devour. I still do, but under the light of the New Covenant, I love that it's still covenant. The Old Testament is just there to reveal Jesus Christ now. It's been revealed. Amen? But there's a difference between wrath and correction. So I want to read some scriptures and kind of see how far we get today. I have all these points. I know we won't get near through any amount of those points. We'll pick it up another time after next week. But there's a difference between wrath and correction. Did you know that? And so in Deuteronomy chapter, I'm going to read a few scriptures. In Deuteronomy 8, 3 through 5. And this is the Lord, this is through Moses. And he's talking to the children of Israel. And he says, and he humbled you and let you go hungry. And let me say, he didn't let them go hungry. Remember when they started complaining and said, we're hungry. Well, they didn't starve, but they were hungry, right? He says, I let you go hungry and fed you with the manna which you did not know. nor did your fathers know, in order to make you understand that man shall not live on bread alone. Does that sound familiar when Jesus was using the word of God against Satan? Man, when the word became flesh, that really means the word became flesh, the word of God, who he was, Jesus Christ. And so this is something that even Jesus did when he was combating Satan. He says, you should not live by bread alone. But he says, but man shall live on everything that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. So you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. But you know what? I'm going to say this. They never humbled themselves by the way. They never did. You know that scripture says, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Even during this time, God's grace and mercy, amen. He was wanting to demonstrate that to them. He was wanting them to humble themselves. He was wanting them to rely on him. But they just, most all of them never got there, never did it. And so what was this humbling? What was he doing? What was this about this humbling? Or what was it specifically? How was God disciplining them during this? And this is the same exact scriptures as what's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll get there, although it won't be this week. And then verse 16, let's talk about this. What was he doing? Why did he do this? He said, in the wilderness, it was he who fed you manna. So they were saying, I'm hungry. So God said, I didn't let you go hungry, but I'm going to provide for you. You're going to wait upon me. You're going to have to trust in me. In the wilderness, it was he who fed you manna, which your father did not know, in order to humble you, in order to put you to the test, do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. Did you hear that? Oh, this was my hand. We did these things, Lord. What was he doing when he led them out into the desert? Was it because he was mean or he was a wicked God or he was abusive God? No, he was bringing them out there that he would show that they would wait upon him, that they would trust in God. Amen. And said, you're going to say, you made this wealth. But in verse 18, he says, but you are to remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is given you the power to make wealth, in order to confirm his covenant, which he swore to you, to your fathers, as it is this day. 19. And it shall come to pass, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve and worship them, I testify against you today that you will certainly perish, like the nations that the Lord eliminates from you, before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. You know, let me say that in this thing about judgment, God's judgment and wrath is completely different from his discipline. See, what he was saying about his discipline here, when you read this, is, look, you're coming out into the wilderness and you're going to have to trust me for manna. You're going to need water. You're going to have to trust me for that water. You're going to have to wait upon me. You're going to have to know that I'm taking you, bringing you into a land where you're not even going to have to sow, but you're going to reap. And I need you to know now during this time of testing that you're in the wilderness, that it's not you that brings blessing in your life. You've got to remember that I brought you out of darkness into my marvelous light. I brought you out of Egypt to be my people. You know what suffering was, but you came out of the world. You came into me. You came into Christ, that rock that they drank from. Even Paul said that's a type of Christ. They drank from that rock. He said, you got to know that when you come into the promised land, that none of this was your doing, but it was mine. I'm the one that's blessed you. And this thing that you're having to trust me on, this discipline of them was, you're going to have to trust me to give you manna. You're going to have to trust me to bring you water. You're going to have to trust me that your clothes aren't going to wear out for 40 years. You're going to have to trust me that your feet won't even swell, because I am with you. I am for you and not against you. But my discipline here is that you're going to have to trust me with everything pertaining to life. But see, they were under this old covenant. God's judgment and wrath is completely different from his discipline. And so we would see things where snakes would appear and bite them and many would die. Those who were rebellious had rebelled against, even against Moses, and said, "We're going back to Egypt. We don't know who this Moses is or who he thinks he is." By the way, the Word of God says he was the humblest, the meekest man on earth. Interesting that he wrote that about himself, but it's a true statement. So some of you that are saying that you're humble, maybe it's true. And so even where the ground would open up and swallow them, many different things. Let me say real quick, Psalm 78:38, as I move through this, it says, "Yet he, being compassionate to the Father, God, atoned for their iniquity," just talking about in the desert, "and did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all of his wrath." There was wrath that was poured out, that old covenant, against sin. But don't get that confused with being the discipline of the Lord. That was the wrath of God. We just read what his discipline, he says, "I discipline you like a son. I brought you out in the desert. I gave you the food of angels, manna. I made you wait on me. I provided water for you. Your clothing never wore out. You had to trust in me." That was the discipline of the Lord. "I'm going to provide for you. Are you going to wait upon me? Are you going to trust me?" What the wrath of God was against sin under that old covenant was when they would start complaining. They started doing all these different things, making the golden calf. That was the wrath of God under the old covenant. Was not his discipline. I'm going to tell you right now, many people think you could be struggling, you could know him, and if you think he's a God of wrath, then you don't understand God's love for you for this new covenant. Even when it talks about where Paul says these things were written as examples to you and I, that we wouldn't do what they did. If you read that, he says, you see what happened to them, but this is written down as examples, man. Don't go the way that they did. Man, my Holy Spirit lives in you. You're under the new covenant, man. You're under grace and mercy and strength. I've given you the ability to walk in the light as I am in the light. You're not caught in that old covenant. And I want one thing is I do not want anybody to think as they're walking with the Lord God that they would ever experience God's wrath if you are in covenant with him under Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You passed. You're not walking in wrath. But many people will think about God having a rod or staff that they're still under his wrath. They've been taught he's under, do good, you're okay. Do bad and you're going to experience his wrath. Now there's a sowing and reaping, we'll get to that. But understand God's judgment and wrath is completely different from a New Testament discipline. Now I'm speaking on this subject because of something the Lord spoke to my heart. This is how this happened. Yeah, are you still out there? Don't sleep on me yet. Give me a few more minutes. And so I was recently, this is how this started for me, is the Lord speaking to me. I was recently in prayer about finances and my businesses outside the church. And so let me say this, you know, I've always been a tither, like many of you, a giver. I try to hold on things loosely, not to always have to be greedy or anything of that nature. And so I've always tried to have that heart size in prayer because all of a sudden some of these areas of revenue and stream just began to like dry up. And I'm like, what in the world's going on, God? And the thing is, the Lord had spoke to hearts about blessing us because I believe in the blessing of God. Amen. I know that. And so we'd had several places we'd been and gotten prophetic words. People didn't know us from a hill of beans that would give us these prophetic words. And me and my wife were saying, man, that is exactly what God had spoke to yours and mine heart regarding the blessing of God in our lives to be able to funnel monies into the kingdom of God, not just tithing in the church, but giving to different things that we felt God wanted us to give and will continue to give. But all of a sudden, all these revenue streams that we're having seem like a dry up. And so what do I do? Like any good Christian, I begin to rebuke Satan and to rebuke the devourer, and to say things like, Satan, get your hands off of my finances, get thee behind me in Jesus' name. And so all these things. And then the Lord spoke to me and said this. And this is what started this. The Lord spoke this thing to my heart. You are undergoing the discipline of the Lord. Wow. There's some times where you know, well, was that you, God, or was that pizza? But there's some times where you just know the Lord speaking to your heart. Amen. And so he says, You're undergoing the discipline of the Lord. No, I haven't. Don't feel sorry for me. I can still pay my bills, and that I'm not saying that. You don't have to take up an offering for me. I'll be all right. And so the Lord began to speak to me. He says, hey, you're undergoing the discipline of the Lord. And so I began to search his word on discipline of the Lord. You know, I'm going to say this as we go through this. The Lord always wants us to walk in confidence with him. Did you know that? He always does. His discipline isn't like we're something where you're going to be extremely hurt. But it's going to be hurtful words. Or beat severely with a rod. That's not God's discipline. But yet, because of what people have been taught or what their background is, that's what they think their God is. Jesus, when he was walking with the disciples, he told them the truth, but he was always kind about it. He was always, says, how much longer must I be with you? He was always gentle and kind. He's the one that says, I am gentle and humble. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. That's our God. He's always gentle and loving. But when the Lord spoke to this to my life, you're undergoing the discipline of the Lord. I'm like, what are you talking about, God? So what do? I just go to the Word. If you want to know what's going on, go to the Word and start studying the Word in the context of the new covenant. Amen and amen. And so as I begin to read this, and so let's go to Hebrews 12, 5 and 7 in the ESV. Hebrews 12, 5 and 7 in the ESV, if you have that, Bill. These are kind of the same language that we read there in Deuteronomy 8. He says, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. By the way, many scholars think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Because at the last chapter, the last few verses, it says, hey, it talks about Timothy. Who was associated with Timothy? Paul, most of Paul. And so you think of the other associations that were with Paul. We had the doctor Luke, but they say he was a doctor of medicine at that time, but he didn't have the ability to write this book of Hebrews. They think maybe other people, but most people, the first church up to 150 AD said that Paul wrote Hebrews. Do we know? It doesn't say. But we know at the end it's somebody who ran in circles with Timothy. And we know we have a first and second book of Timothy, don't we? But we don't know for sure. And it says, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Say sons. Who is he talking to? Sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his son does not discipline? God disciplining. So my thing is, as many of us don't even think about discipline. We just think about, man, can I make it through the day or the week intact? Right? You remember those days? Intact. But as we're growing in the Lord, let me just say this. There is nothing that can come upon you or happen to you that the Lord doesn't know about. Any struggles, anything that might be facing you, the Lord knows about all of them. So we have to say, number one, many don't understand the discipline of the Lord. And I'm not even saying that I understand everything about the discipline of the Lord. I've heard other people try to explain it, and I've seen some people explain it as if they have to do with way of other scriptures, right? And I don't want to do that. And so the word discipline, the Lord's discipline, brings all kinds of thoughts and feelings, right? So first we need to understand we are not under that old covenant. I said that. As a believer saved by grace through faith, you are not under the curse of the law. Let me just say that first. One of the first revelations of grace that I had when I was reading Deuteronomy chapter 28, and many of you heard me say this, I was looking at the blessings and the curse, and I was wondering, why do I relate more to these curses of things going on in my life? And I started thinking then, if I'm relating with more of these curses of what's going on, fear at my time, anxiety, all these different things of fears and different things. And then I was looking at the blessing of God and I'm saying, Lord, if I am relating to that more, why can't I relate to the blessings? And that's when the Lord started opening up grace and mercy, his power. You see, I don't have it, but I can read this. This is what the curses of the law, part of them in Deuteronomy chapter 28 say. It says, the Lord will send against you curses. Panic. Anybody? Panic seem to be normal in our society? Panic disorders? Panic about everything? The Lord will send against you curses, panic, and rebuke. And everything you undertake to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly. On account of the evil of your deeds, because you have abandoned me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has eliminated you from the land where you are entering to take possession of it. The Lord will strike you with consumption, inflammation, fever, fervish heat, and with the sword, with blight, with mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. That was part of the curse. But you know, it seems like to me that even in today's world, as a believer of Christ, that many people are saying under the new covenant that God still does this to his people. But I'm reading you here, that is part of the curse of the law. But it says in Galatians 3:13 and 14 that you know this scripture. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, say blessing, of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and he's your God, you are not under the curse of the law, but you might come under some discipline. Yeah. You might undercome some, but you're not under the curse of the law. See, the Lord wants to bless you. He doesn't want you to walk in panic. He doesn't want you to walk in fear. He doesn't want you to walk in constantly being sick. He wants to heal us. And I know there's people that struggle with that, and I don't know those answers, but I know what the Word of God says. There's things in my life that I'm praying for health-wise, saying, Lord, help me in these areas. So I'm not coming down as I know everything, but I know one thing, that it says that he hung on the tree for me so that I would be redeemed from the curse of the law. Is let me just say this, that wrath and judgment mean fear. If you're walking with the Lord, there's a fear of the Lord that keeps us away from evil, because we know what that does to our lives, right? Amen? But man, we're not to have a fear of any wrath or judgment. Did you hear that? No wrath, no ungodly judgment or fear should be a part of the believer's life. 1 John 4:16-19. Therefore is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Fear, for fear has to do with what? Punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Amen. So knowing that right now, that fear, that having the fear of punishment, there's many people out there not understanding, they still have a fear of punishment as if they were under an old covenant law. There's not to be any fear. When you understand how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, with the price that he paid for you, you know what kind of heart I'm learning to have? Lord, bring all the discipline you want. I know you're going to take care of me. I know I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Lord, I know you're going to protect me. You're going to protect my children and my family. Lord, I know you love me with an undying love. Lord, I know I can trust you. I give my complete life to you. But when you still live under a fear of condemnation, are being or punishment like that, then you never will trust somebody that you know might turn around and bite you, might change their mind against you, could be cruel towards you. If you just say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, that you might incur God's wrath. And then you don't have any confidence before Him. And then your walk with Him is always failing or floundering because you don't have confidence in His love for you. How many know today that He wants you and I to have confidence in our walk with Him? But God has set us free from wrath. You know, to some it brings to mind the wrath, God, abuse, and anger. That is not God. Can I tell you something that somebody might be shocked? God's not mad at me. God never is mad at me. But God is always there trying to woo me, to get me to see things. God will discipline me, but it's not out of His anger. It's out of His love. See, we think of anger, but what's it saying, James, that the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God? So we think about the anger of man. So in the New Covenant, so what's Romans 5:8-9? Here's a few scriptures. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, say still sinners. That's like the minute you were born, okay? You were a sinner. Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. Isn't that amazing? Do you fear the wrath of God? Now, if you don't know Him, yeah, there's a wrath of God coming. You better fear that. There's only one way to go to, we'll talk about propitiation. But if you know Him this morning, there is no wrath of God. You've been passed from death to life. There's no wrath of God for you. Under the old covenant, I'm telling you, if we lived under the old covenant, you've heard me say this, and this might be true for you, I would have been dead a long time ago. But His mercy and His love. Let's continue. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:8-9. But since we belong to the day, anybody here belong to the day? Let us be sober. Amen. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined, listen, God has not destined us for wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I know what Satan's, I know what his destiny is, a lake of fire, and I know what my destiny it is to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, my Lord. How about you? Let's keep going a little bit. 1 John 4:10, some of these scriptures says this, and this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. We don't hear the word propitiation much, do we? So to propitiate means to satisfy the wrath of God against sin. To turn away God's wrath, or to offer a sacrifice that appeases God's judgment and righteous anger against us and our sin. And no, Jesus not simply the propitiator, but the propitiation. He is what satisfies the justice of God, a propitiation. All the wrath of God being poured out on the cross. On the cross. And you heard me say before, a lot of people think that Jesus was there between God and say, God, I'll help him. Just hold back, God. I'm going to help them. No, it was God's ideal. It pleased Him, Isaiah 53 says, to crush His Son. That He became sickness for us. Amen. All sin was put upon Him. My chastisement, my wrath that I and you deserve was put upon Him on the cross. That's why we have this new covenant where we pass unto death unto life, where we're not under the wrath of God, but under His mercy and grace. But you know, God can still bring judgment against the wicked. Did you know that? Oh yeah. I will never experience His wrath. Do you realize you will never experience his wrath as he's your Lord and Savior? If the propitiation, if you believe in that, that he became sin for you, amen, you will never experience his wrath. You know, it's in the, but God can still judge the wicked. I have to admit, when I read the scripture, I think, God, I wish you'd do this, some of this today. Acts 11:21-24. Acts 11, it says, on an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took a seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, the voice of a God and not of a man. Immediately an angel of the Lord. An angel of what? An angel of the Lord. Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. And you know why I think God, I wish God would do some of that today. But God can, let me just say this, God can do whatever he wants. Man, me coming into new covenant with him. But those that don't know him, God can do what he wants. Of course we want people to come know him. But God can raise up and bring down anybody he wants in this world. Any government, any individual, any group of people, he can raise up or bring down at his whim. I love what it talks about, and I've talked about this lately, where in the book of Romans, where Paul says, who are you to say whose heart I soften or harden? Who are you to say what I do? So how do I respond to that? Thank you, Lord, that you allowed my heart to be softened. Thank you, Lord, that I knew who you were and come to see who you were at the cross. Thank you, Lord, that I'm an object of mercy. Thank you, Father God, that my children are going to be an object of mercy. Thank you, Lord, as I was praying earlier with a dear lady. Thank you, Lord, that the Word of God says that you and your household shall be saved. Lord, thank you that Paul talks about the believing wife or believing husband, that your wife, because of that, your children are sanctified. Thank you, Lord, for the promises and truths of God. Thank you, Lord, that me and all that belong to me shall experience the mercy and the love of God, because I believe in it, I repented of doing things my own way, and I put my trust in you, and I will not experience your wrath. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. This is what I wanted to say. This as the Lord began to talk to me about my finances and the discipline of the Lord. Remember I said that? Going back to there, can I go back? Remember, I said, Lord, why did these things in my life dry up? How in the world, rebuking Satan and doing those things. The Lord speaking in my heart saying, you're under the discipline of the Lord. And then going to that, to where in the Deuteronomy, and then as I began to read that, he says, hey, I'm the one who's given you the manna. I'm the one who's making you wait on me. I'm the one that's telling you when you're going to eat and not eat. It's not because I'm trying to be mean or rude. It's just that when you get into that promised land and I bless your socks off, you need to know it was me and not you. As the Lord began to speak to me, saying, I don't care, Chad, what's going on in your finances and me. Are you going to trust me? You're going to worship me? You're going to praise me? You're going to continue the things that you need to do? Or are you going to start whining and complaining and saying, how come that prophecy's not coming to pass? What the Lord told me is, yeah, that prophecy's coming to pass, but you're going to wait upon me and my discipline and trust me and serve me and lift my name on high regardless of what's going on in your life. And that's exactly what he wants you to do. I don't know what you're waiting on. Think about what you're waiting on, what God has maybe promised to you or spoken in your life, and it hasn't come to pass. That is the discipline of the Lord saying, you're going to wait upon me. You're going to trust me. You're going to worship me and honor me until that comes to pass, because that's how you're going to grow up in me. So when that thing comes to pass, that I can trust you with it, because you've grown to the maturity of it. In Jesus' name. But he was saying to me, Chad, you're not ready for that yet. You need to mature a little bit more. You need to grow up a little bit more. I'm disciplining you, saying, wait upon me, worship me, and honor me. as if all of that came true. Show me I can trust you with the blessings. Show me I can trust you with a ministry. Show me I can trust you with that business. Show me I can trust you. Whatever God is promising you that you're waiting on, you just worship him and honor him and let him bring it to pass. What was the discipline of the Lord on Abraham? Because Abraham, I was looking at that too, because Abraham was the first individual, it says in Romans chapter 4, I believe, it says that God preached the gospel to Abraham. You remember, you know that scripture? I started looking through there. So, well, God, if it says you discipline those you love, how did you discipline Abraham? Because he did some goofy stuff, and I don't even understand how it would be like. Remember he said, this is my sister? His wife would be put into the harem, and then he'd have a dream and say, you're a dead man? And the king would say, well, I didn't know. He told me it's his sister. And then what would he do? He wouldn't only bring his wife back, but they'd bring him like all these gifts. All this gold, silver, all these different, you know, herds of different things. Not only did God restore his wife, but he'd bring him all these gifts and gold. Some of these things where Abraham became blessed was even in some of his mess ups. And then on top, he'd say, hey, for your harem and your wives to have children again, you have to have Abraham pray for you. Well, he's the one that started this. But yet God's blessing. How did God discipline Abraham? You're going to have a son. 75. I'm going to have a son. 80, 85, he's got all this money. God, I've got all this wealth, but I don't have a son. You're going to have a son. 90 years old. You're going to have a son. Until he was 100 years of age. And it says that against all hope, hoped. What was the discipline of the Lord, just like many times for you and I, waiting on those promises to come to pass, continue to worship him and honor him. So that he had allowed the discipline of the Lord to train him to such a point when he had Isaac and God said, go sacrifice him. He had grown so much in the Lord. He says, I know, Lord, I've waited 25 years for this boy, and you promised me a son. So I know if I put him to death that you will raise him from the dead. Because I have waited upon you. I might have messed up, but I got back up and I said, Lord, thank you. I'm here. I'm going to honor you and worship you. I belong to you, Lord. I know he could have blamed Sarah and said, Sarah, you're the reason why I'm not having a child. Sarah could have looked at him and said, you're the reason we're not having a child. They could have blame game. They could have had the blame game. But what did they do? They just continue to worship and honor God. Amen. They didn't give up. They didn't go back. They didn't go back to where they came from. They continue to honor God. The discipline of the Lord for many of us this day, saying, Lord, you've made some promises in my heart, and I'm going to continue to honor you and worship you and praise you until they come to pass. And meanwhile, you're growing in him, not being a spoiled brat because you didn't get your way the instantly you wanted it. God gave you a promise, and you're saying, what happened to continue to worship him and honor him until he brings it to pass? And then you honor and say, thank you, Lord, that I didn't give up or give in. Thank you for all the growth. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for the maturity in my life. Thank you that I didn't give up. That there is a big part of the discipline of the Lord as you continue to worship him and honor him as you're waiting on things that God spoke to your heart. So when the Lord says you're under the discipline of the Lord, and as I begin to read, I say, okay, Lord, thank you. I know the things that you promised, that you're going to bless us, and we're going to continue to bless others. We're going to worship you the same now as we're going to worship you when the promise comes to pass. Let me ask you, is there things that God has spoken to your heart that you're believing for? That maybe you've given up on? And if you have, you know what? Abraham had those times too. He wasn't perfect. Ishmael, hello. Then he spent like I don't know how many years thinking Ishmael was gonna, it was the promised child, and then God shows up in the scene and said, nope. And then he begged him, said, Lord, please let it be Ishmael. Nope. You're going to have your own son. The promised child. The one by which you and I now, by faith, Abraham, that same faith, trusting him. See, what the children of Israel, what they needed to do is what you and I do now, saying, Lord, thank you for providing for me. Thank you for this manna. Thank you for this water coming out of the rock. Thank you for meeting all my needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. I'm going to trust you. Yes, I've got many struggles and there's things I need to change, but Lord, I'm going to trust you for that. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to continue to thank you, Father, for a miracle in my life in those areas. Lord God, even if you had maybe given up on those things, ask the Lord to resurrect them now, because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He hasn't given up on you. Have you given up on him? The Lord's still there. Just allow the discipline of the Lord to have its way in your life. Trust him no matter what you see. Trust him no matter what you feel. Trust him no matter what's going on in your bank account or whatever the situation with your kids, whatever it might be. Continue to trust him and worship him and honor him, and see that the Lord not only will bring it about, but he's going to grow you up so when it comes about, you have the maturity to walk in it as he wants you to. Amen. As the piano player comes, can you stand up with me? Do you love him today? Amen. Do you love him?
Yes.
Should we fear the discipline of the Lord?
No.
No, not at all. Welcome the discipline of the Lord. Say, Lord, whatever you need to do in my life, I belong to you. He's a loving father. He's not a cruel father. He's not an angry father. He's not an abusive father. He's a loving, kind, faithful. You want to know what God's like? Well, do you think he would ask us to walk in his fruit and not do that himself? What is our God? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. That is the character of our God. That, and the wonderful thing is we see those things displayed in our life and his caring for me, caring for us. That's when we say, man, Lord, how can I help but not walk like that towards others? Your kindness and patience with me, how can I not walk like that towards others? Father, we thank you. Lord, teach your people. Lord, show us about your discipline. Let us not be fearful and say, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. Lord, there is nothing I need to fear. You're going to take care of me. Lord, those areas where you may be disciplining me for my own good to grow up into you, Lord, show those things to me. I love you, Lord. Tell the Lord, I love you. I praise you. Some of you might say, Lord, I'm standing again. Here I am again. I fell down. Okay. We all can fall down. You just get up and say this, Lord, I trust you. Help me to trust you. Help me to know your character. So with that, Father, we thank you. We praise you. How we love you. Lord, how we love you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for the power of childlike faith, trusting in you. Lord, thank you for the power of childlike faith, trusting you. We belong to you. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you said, yep, I'm going to bring you into discipline. I'm going to show you how to trust me. I'm going to grow you up into the things I have for you. And Lord, we embrace those things today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah.